The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Warning now that our next conversation contains references to sexual assault and rape and therefore not suitable for younger or vulnerable ears. Back at the end of August, we revealed on this show how over the past 10 years, the Director of Public Prosecutions has decided not to prosecute over 67% of sexual offence cases submitted to the DPP's office by the Gardaí. The information was received under a Freedom of Information request, and it showcased the burden of proof needed for justice, what it takes to build a case, and importantly, the thousands of people who don't get a chance to take their alleged attacker to court. Now, since these figures were released, countless people have reached out to News Talk, and our reporter Jessica Woodlock is going to tell us one of those stories. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Can you remind us of the story originally broken by News Talk back in August?
Yes, so we received a number of responses from the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions following those Freedom of Information requests you mentioned. So with that information, then we were able to look at the DPP's history with sexual offence cases. And as you mentioned, we reported 67% of such cases weren't prosecuted over the past decade. And Pat, that accounts to around 13,000 sexual offender suspects. Now, there was other information too out of cases that were taken forward. There was a relatively high success rate. And we know the DPP is choosing to prosecute more cases now than it was 10 years ago. Another big figure that stuck out from that data was the reason for no prosecution. And the overwhelming response from the DPP's office was insufficient evidence. So that actually accounted for the majority of cases that weren't taken forward, Pat.
But people have been reaching out to you since you broke that story.
Yes, so I've had multiple people get in touch with me. One woman reached out on email to say she'd been sexually assaulted in a car park and there wasn't enough evidence to prove the identity of the person who did it. Another person from one of the regional rape crisis centres told me this was a massive issue and something that is often overlooked in terms of how much it can re-traumatise people. But today, Pat, I want to focus on the story of this very brave woman who took the time to talk to me. This person, who we'll call Sarah, is a victim survivor of rape and domestic abuse. Now, her voice and her name has been changed due to the legal implications of sharing her story. And Pat, I asked her to take me back to that time in her life when the abuse was happening.
My years of abuse were buried and untouchable because I didn't know what else to do. I was surviving and living in a marriage that didn't make sense to me. I never knew how to tell anybody that I was being mentally, emotionally, physically and sexually abused. It went on for over decades and I would describe my abuse as being slowly tortured. I never considered leaving. I didn't know I could because I was a devout Catholic. I was rearing my children and I was afraid of the outcome if I ever stepped out of my marriage. I was worn down. I was a very happy, bubbly person and my life in that marriage wore me down by the abuse. The stress, the anxiety showed up in different ways. It was physical pain, it was weight gain, weight loss, misuse of alcohol, and I was on a lot of medication.
As you can hear there, Pat, this woman spent years suffering before building up the courage to speak to someone and ultimately go on to tell the Gardaí and detectives. She told me when she heard those figures that we reported here on News Talk, it didn't actually surprise her at all because she is one of those people whose case wasn't taken forward by the DPP because of insufficient evidence. And just to say to people, some of the following content might be quite distressing.
It took years of processing what had happened to me. It took years of getting the courage to tell. It took years to help myself to begin to recover. Yet, It only took weeks for it to be all dropped by the DPP. And I don't think that's fair. I'd say what is wrong is that the DPP were looking for evidence that I just couldn't give them. But I gave them my truth, and I was believed. And I don't know why there is such a huge emphasis on we must see for ourselves. It's almost like saying, we need to be in the bedroom with you when you're being raped. That's what it makes me feel like. It makes me believe that it's almost like have cameras in every room of your house without your privacy. And your privacy is what marriage is about. But when that's abused by a perpetrator, who is going to believe you if they can't see you? And I don't know what else to say about that. But we go on and we don't get justice. We have to come out of their decision left feeling distraught. Why did I put myself through all of that suffering, pain, re-traumatizing myself, involving my children, involving my external families who supported me in every way they could? And then not only was I disappointed, everybody that knew became almost victims of the system because their pain was now with me. What was being done for me? And what was done for me was it was dropped and it didn't make court.
So that was Sarah, a victim survivor of rape. If you're only tuning in now, her voice has been changed to protect her identity. Now, Jessica, I presume she is getting the support that she needs right now.
Yes, Pat, she is. So you can hear from her story how difficult this time in her life was. And she told me that one of the most important things she did was tell someone and reach out and get those appropriate supports. And when we broke this story, Pat, we spoke on the show about the burden of proof needed for court and how hard the justice system is. And Sarah's story here is just another aspect of that grueling process. The reality is her story is one that is replicated and shared by so many others in Ireland. As we reported, we know just over 30% of sexual offence cases over the past 10 years have actually been prosecuted by the DPP. And just to get more of a grasp on how this impacts people, I spoke with Anne Scully. So Anne is the manager of Waterford Rape Crisis Centre and the chair of the Rape Crisis Network Ireland board. But she's also a psychotherapist and has years of experience talking to people. She told me when a situation like this happens, survivors can often take on the responsibility of the perpetrator. And when a case isn't taken forward, it can lead to a lot of different feelings, particularly if, like in Sarah's case, a lack of evidence is a key factor.
Sexual violence, I would say, very rarely, if ever, happens in front of witnesses. And that's the nature of it, because what the attacker wants, obviously, is for nobody to know that this has happened so that they won't be, they'll get away with it. They won't be punished for it. Now, there may be other forms of evidence, for example, the corroborating evidence, what's called corroborating evidence that can be gathered during the investigation. But I think that I think that survivors, I suppose, they're traveling with hope, you know, from the first instance. One of the things that I would say is that, and I would certainly include myself in this before I started doing this work, was the expectations around what can happen during an investigation or what the justice system can do in a situation like this are often very different to what the reality actually is. It's also maybe to understand that the decision comes back that there's no case. It isn't a case then that the survivor can just go, oh, okay, so now I just get on with my life. It takes time to absorb and assimilate that decision into their thought processes, into how they're going to deal with the abuse going forward, into how they just even how they feel on a day-to-day basis, because they can feel, you know, very let down by the system. And so that again can affect how a person feels about themselves, about their belief in themselves and their own sense of self-esteem. One of the things I would like to reiterate is, no matter how long you've lived with whatever happened to you, with the abuse that happened to you, if you've lived with it as your secret, please remember that there isn't, you don't need to be alone with it. Help is available. Support is available. Even just picking up the phone or dropping an email, just to even start the process, and remember that it goes at your pace. You don't have to talk about anything you're not ready to talk about. But being on your own with it is a huge, can be a huge burden to carry.
Now, that was Anne Scully, psychotherapist and manager of the Waterford Rape Crisis Centre. Jessica, you met with Sarah and you spoke to her about her experience of the case not being prosecuted by the DPP. Did she tell you why she decided to speak out now?
Yes, so Sarah made the decision to speak out because she considers herself, like so many others, I suppose, someone who's really experienced that negative and quite cruel side of our justice system. And actually, Pat, quite movingly, she told me that her original decision to go and seek support in the first place for her abuse was because she heard an interview on the radio and decided to go and get that help. And I suppose what makes her story different than what we can sometimes hear is that the idealized version of justice didn't happen. And it just makes us more aware of the thousands of people who don't get the chance to stand on the steps of the criminal courts of justice or wherever it is around the country and speak out about what happened. And of course, even those that do, it's well reported, and you've spoke to a number of people, Pat, about how difficult a process that is. So I'll leave the final word to Sarah, and I asked her to describe that experience of being told her case against her perpetrator, her former husband, wasn't going to be prosecuted.
Fully believing that I would go to court. I really did believe that it was going to go to court.
Were you nearly, I suppose, mentally preparing yourself for that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I just don't understand, and it makes no sense to me, that the DPP's reason was that there is no sufficient evidence. But yet nobody sees what is happening behind closed doors. And how can I prove this when it happened in my marital bed or when I was locked in rooms in my home? How could I prove that? So how could I have that 100% sufficient evidence that they were looking for? It's like I needed a witness to be present for all the things that he did. And that's just, that doesn't happen. That's not reality. That's not something that can be given by me to the courts or to the DPP, because it isn't there. And something has to change.
And that was Sarah, a victim survivor of rape. That's not her real name, by the way, and her voice has been changed to protect her identity. If you've been affected by anything in the report, you can contact the 24 National Rape Crisis Helpline at 1-800-77-8888.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.